Hi, you're listening to Nuts and Bolts, a podcast about gear and music. With some of your favorite artists, I will dive into the practicalities of how they make their work. Twisting those knobs and pushing those buttons. Nada El-Shazly and I met in her hometown, Cairo. Both with the sniffles, as you'll be able to hear, and with the constant honking concert of Cairo in the background. There's a number of code honks, by the way, like Habibi and some less friendly ones. El-Shazly released the EP Ahwar to great critical acclaim in 2017. She worked with a number of musicians from Cairo and Montreal on the record, and she's been touring the world vigorously ever since, with amongst others Sherif El-Masri on stage, also known under his solo moniker Tarkamt.
I can tell you, for example, that in 2010, it was the first time for me to install Ableton and use it. And that was basically for me the beginning of exploring a lot of options and understanding many, many things about audio and MIDI and all the virtual instruments and effects and everything. And it kind of got me to build on that and know more and more how to explore things and how to find out about things and also how to write and how to perform, basically. Before that, I was using GarageBand because it was right there, and before that I was just recording on tape or whatever. So basically, with the first album, I started working on sessions on Ableton using drum rack. I didn't have any gear except for the software and a microphone. I actually didn't even use a microphone. I used the microphone of the laptop, and many vocal takes that I did with the laptop microphone made it to the album. They are on the record. For example, the pitched one, in the very beginning, the very first song, the first thing that you hear on the album, this is something that was recorded directly into the laptop. And then I used drum rack and samplers in order to build basically the main structure for the songs. And after that, I would hang out at friends' places and musicians. And one of the musicians that I was hanging out at his place a lot was Maurice Luca. And we were playing a lot of music together. And we ended up writing two songs on the record. And he had this keyboard, the Yamaha Oriental keyboard, which I felt very quick to be familiar with, because I used to play piano when I was very young. And also, we recorded with this Yamaha keyboard a lot of lines, a lot of tracks and songs. Main melodies were made on this keyboard. And I would just add this delay pedal. It's called Red Repeat. It's an analog delay pedal, Carl Martin. And also some effects on Ableton.
Like what?
I mean, I use different effects, but mostly I also like the grain delay a lot. And reverbs, but also transposing lines on the audio track itself and pitch shifting a little bit.
Maurice Luca is a synth and guitar player from Cairo, who is also known for his solo work and the band Dwarves of East Agusa with Sam Shalaby and Alan Bishop. Ableton Live's grain delay, I bet, is familiar to all Ableton users, but what does it actually do? So grain delay, in general, samples incoming audio in very small chunks called grains, and then emits each grain after a set delay time. You can control grain size, pitch shift amount, and randomization of pitch and time.
The main sound, the main character of the sound was coming from the Yamaha keyboard. This is an old one. It's the AE-1000, and it has the floppy disk here, you know, that you can put have samples and sounds on, and then you just upload them here. But I think it's broken, this one. Yeah, it needed some repairing and changing the rubber inside the keys in order for them to work. On tour, after the album was written, I would travel with this keyboard, this heavy keyboard. With the back, I think it weighs 13 kilograms, maybe a little bit more. And the reason was because I couldn't play the quarter tones or even like the smaller intervals on anything else. And I was so attached to playing the songs the way they were, at least the main melodies, you know, because they would make, they make the song. And I didn't want to have it playback because I wanted to make sure that I play a lot and have a good time when I'm playing, when I'm performing. So I would travel with this keyboard, which was a pain in the ass for a long time, until I got this. This is the Korg Monologue. And it's really a super, super synthesizer because for this size, you know, it, and the weight is really nothing. And you can tune, you can tune the keys. Yeah, there's a lot of range between the notes that you can choose to save and then have that as your default. So this A is the one that I tuned to be somewhat like a quarter. And then I can play my tune. And like even and even like go even further, and you know, like, and find other ways that this Yamaha keyboard didn't have, because this is an analog synthesizer.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have the oscillators, and you have the EQs and everything, you know, and the filters, so you can play a lot more with it.
The Korg Monologue is small and affordable. It's monophonic, but it's so flexible. It's a really great tip. That A that Nada played, that you might have considered flat if you listen with Western ears, it comes from Arabic tuning systems.
The way it works is that there are many, many different scales, and they are seen as part of the scale, so half scales, and then you build basically your own scale with them. And there is four or five main ones, and then they branch out and branch out and branch out, and it really depends on which part of the country and which part of the whole region you are, and they will sound a little bit different.
But a scale is a maqam, or it's two different things?
Yeah, a scale is a maqam, and the maqam is built from two jins. So you have... So this one is more like a bayat, and then... This is like a minor scale.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them together, they and I went a little bit also like this.
Is that sort of a hybrid? Are you like, you know, mixing influences then, or are you staying?
I think with the past album, it was I was working really from what I was feeling, and then I figured out that I used scales that I didn't even know about them. I didn't really study theory, so I'm not working from the scale and then to the composition. It was more the other way around. And I mean, some things maybe they didn't seem that they would work, but they did, so I kept them. But this Korg Monologue is really cool because you can do a lot of things with it, and I mean, the sounds that are already saved are not so bad, but it also has a sequencer and a lot of things to play with, especially if you're going to attach it to like an effect box or pedals. Sometimes I used it with this SP55. I use it also for vocals, but it has some really nice effects that I can use with this, and then it ends up really like sounding like something else than what it originally is. I'm starting to work on the second album, and I'm starting with this. I'm starting with the synth, with the effects, and seeing, like, finding melodies that I like and sounds that I like, and then working from that point onwards. Before the cable from the synthesizer goes into the the sound card, it would go through effect pedals and or the SP55. Yeah, I mean, you can use a lot of different pedals for guitar and for other things on the synthesizer. And then you can create your own rack, and then eventually it goes into the sound card and then to your computer. And then on the computer you can also add like endless other effects because Ableton allows you to do that. So I've been using this for these longer improvisations.
Yeah.
This sound. Because of the amount of time I played the song, sometimes you can play the melody with like a really destroyed sound. The end of it's a bit too much, so maybe changing the rest of the like how the harmonic sounds. And really, sometimes I don't even know what the knobs are doing. I just try things out, you know. And so this one has a lot of noise. So. Actually, something that I use a lot is just record and go into this zone and just keep playing. And then most of the time there is a sound that I reach, or there is a line that happens in the middle that I like. And then I choose it and I work with it. It's easier if you're stuck or you're blocked. So you're just going with the sound itself, and then it kind of guides you. And you're not really thinking, you're just playing, you're having fun. You find something that you like, and because it's there, you can just use it later.
Yeah.
We took a look at the SP555 from Roland. Mind you, we skipped a 5 when discussing it.
Yeah, so this one I started using only recently. Also borrowed it from a friend, and I really liked it because it's very simple to use. This one is discontinued actually, but they have a newer version of it that is still being sold. I was trying to find something that I could recreate the pitched vocals in the beginning of the record. And I found the pitch effect here, the one that is number 15 on the A bank, really worked really nicely, and you can control it from here, so you can play with the pitch as you're singing into it live, as you're singing into the microphone. And also, you don't have to use your computer anymore on stage, because it's also a sampler, so you can just release or trigger some of the samples that you're using and also play with them, with the effects that are in the bank. Basically, this is the setup that I'm using now. It's the SP55 and the Korg, those two pedals, the delay pedal and a looper pedal. And that's about it. And starting also to play with Sharif on electronics and fretless guitar, and Conrad on drums, and Mauritz on the upright bass. There's a lot of things that I felt like this is the setup where we have to recreate the songs, and I don't need any of whatever it is that is on the album. It's a totally different setup now and arrangement, and that was in and of itself something so fun that kept us giving more to the pieces as we were playing every day.
Then we turned to Ableton Live and talked about Nada's drum programming for Ahuar.
Yeah, because these things that I did were in 2015, and then when the songs were done, they all moved to Pro Tools, which is another software, and on this computer, which is new, I don't think I have the sessions.
But did you program like sort of dummy beats, or also the things that were eventually on the record?
Things that were eventually on the record. I can't find now the drum rack itself. But this is one of the things that I programmed also just on the drum rack, and which ended up on the album. Drum rack on Ableton is really fun because you can just have like a loop of 2 bars, 3 bars, 4 bars. You can start with something small, and then it just keeps going, and you can add these squares, and it becomes really instinctual in a way, because you're just adding these squares, these blocks, and it keeps, you can listen to it, and it, like, you're in this loop. It's that simple, really. It's, but I mean, what makes it exciting is also the sounds of the drums, for sure,
yeah.
Right? So spending some time on these sounds, even if you start with existing samples, and then you change them, you use some effects to change how they sound, and you just give it a try, and then you can always make it more and more complex and complicated and fun. And there's also, if you record drums on drum rack, and then you can change where the loop starts, and you can also map it to like a knob, and then it becomes more playful also, and not depending on you all the time to kind of choose something that makes sense all the time, but you can kind of go through the knob and have it start at different times. So sometimes you don't also have to think of the beat as something that makes sense on its own like that. And I also, one of the things that I like to do is to use this one, the transpose. So this, for example, is the choir bit. Right, but then you can also draw your own thing, because here, transposition modulation,
yeah.
And then with this thing you can even like do things like that, and then you hear them and you see. Sometimes it depends on the processor, it doesn't pick up everything right away. Oh, it's because there's recorded things in the back.
Let me try to recap. After having drawn pitch shift automation into this choir recording, Nada cut a piece out of it and placed it in a MIDI slot in the mixer view of Ableton. Then she uses that as a sample mapped to a MIDI piano, played with the keys of the laptop keyboard, which is a nice tip that's possible to do. Now she will proceed to mess around with that and record the messing around, making a new sample out of that again, mapped to a new MIDI piano. It's a double whammy.
Interesting. Maybe even sample that and have that become a keyboard that I can use later. Then I can also record it. And then use that. You can use filters and maybe also some other more obvious effects. You can also use things that you've worked on before and make them sound completely different, because this is actually the choir, right? I usually spend a lot of time doing stuff like that, and sometimes throwing away a lot of things, most of the time throwing away a lot of things. But then one day, then you have, this is really cool, and then you start implementing it. So throwing away things is really important. It's just part of the process, a big part of the process. But also having this really simple Novation One controller is really cool, because it has these knobs and it has faders and it has also some of these pads. So different options for mapping anything, which ends up also being so fun, because you can forget the laptop for a bit and work with that.
The Novation Launch Control XL combines MIDI control by three different parameters. You have mixing faders, you have turning knobs, you have pushing pads, indeed a ton of mapping options, which can be great if you're trying to apply variation in your set, for instance.
The looper pedal is the TC Electronic, really simple one. It has two buttons, one for looping, one for stopping or reversing or dropping at half speed. You can also store loops, and it has one kind of knob for the level, and it's really useful for performing, because you don't need more than that sometimes, and there are bigger things that take up a lot of space. And I use it for that track, the one that I just played, Palmyra. I use it for this one because, and then I can play other things on top with other sounds. I can just keep playing when having that main melody. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then having that main melody there, and very simply stopping it whenever you want.
Yeah, because I always find it hard, you know, with live looping, to get the time exactly right. Is that somehow you can tap? Do you like tap the right tempo in advance, or you just like take your chances?
You take your chances and you go with it. You know, it's like, this is what happened, so this is the time now.
Very funky meter sometimes.
Yeah, especially if you're playing with a drummer, for example, and then it becomes their responsibility to deal with whatever happened, which can be very tricky.
Nada would send a number of signals through one interface and laptop to the mixing desk in a live situation, and this is increasingly the case for artists, due both to technological developments as well as a precarization of the music business, resulting in a vast increase in booking solo acts. I wonder, though, how sound engineers are dealing with this development. It's pretty interesting.
I did most of the mixing on the laptop, but then each room, of course, sounds different and it requires different things. So together with the sound engineer, we would see like what would be the frequencies that need to be a bit changed, and then I would use an equalizer on my laptop, because the laptop is coming just from two channels. So if I'm playing drums or whatever, like drones or anything, and at the same time I have other samples that are all coming from the laptop, they would affect the whole thing. They're not affecting each thing individually. So that's why it requires that I put the EQs myself on different channels, because they don't get that control. But what they have control over is the voice, and together with what's coming from the sampler or from the laptop and the synthesizer. I don't think it would feel comfortable if the sound engineer would go in your session and then they would start EQing it, you know? But I think it's more, it's you like standing outside with the sound engineer, and they know the room. You should also trust their experience and expertise and everything. So they also know when people come in, how it sounds like, or what frequencies get calmer or... Sometimes they also tell you right away, this room has a lot of reverb, so remove the reverbs from your channels. Things like that.
At the time of our speaking in Cairo, Nada was just about to start an intense work period to make material for a new record. So I asked her if she already had plans for the new record when it comes to gear.
The Korg monologue, I got it for performing. And I feel like I got to know it pretty well while touring. So I'm starting with just finding nice effects and nice sounds and just recording and recording and recording, and then kind of building from that point onwards. I have some ideas for rhythms that I want to try out with the old Yamaha keyboard, just for starters, and then maybe I record with musicians, and also the vocal, like an instrument track for the voice. I mean, these are the things that I really want to focus on first, and then take it from there. Because I know you can start somewhere and then you end up with completely different ideas, so this is where I'm starting. For example, now I'm thinking, because of what happened in the first track with the pitched vocals, I want to make one track that is just that, and but with layering it. And I want to get more into how to play with the voice, you know, more ways to play. So I want to start with finding pedals and researching more pedals that I can use, but also maybe contact mics and having other layers to get into the, like, to be layered with the voice that then I can pile together and have as an instrument, and then I can just sing into a microphone and it's there, and with just some modulation I can play with it live. Or having like an instrument track that has delay, and it has the delay that you like, and then the pitch shifter that you chose, and then you can group them all in one thing and they can play together as different layers. And if you modulate some of those layers on the MIDI controller, you can, because it's all in just one channel. So they all exist simultaneously together in this channel, and then you can just modulate them.
وشفت غيري كتير عشت عمري عمري ما دقت وشفت غيري كتير عشت عمري عمري
thanks for listening to Nuts and Bolts Podcast. Thanks to Nada El-Shazly for being our guest. This episode was produced, recorded, and engineered by yours truly, Jessica Slichter, and edited by Julia Reedy. Thanks to the Norwegian Cultural Fund and Komponistforeningen for supporting Nuts and Bolts. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube, not in the least for our phenomenal gear tutorial videos. To help us continue what we're doing, please do support us through patreon.com. We'll be back soon with our last episode of the season. Thanks for listening.